Morning, Buzz. Now, have you ever seen anything like the Lachlan Lewis takedown on Cody Walker last night?
Well, I've seen some weird and wonderful things in rugby league over the years, but nothing quite as outrageous as that. Look, there's been sort of half-time blow-ups. Remember the famous State of Origin with Wally and MG pushing and shoving as they walked off? But I've never... And MG shaping up to him. But I've never, ever seen anything as crazy as that. Have you, Loz?
No, I haven't, Buzz. I actually thought they must have known each other and it might have been like a G-up, you know, to raise money for the Mossy Masui Foundation or something like that, because I was thinking, surely what I'm seeing there is not right. And then I saw everyone rush in. I thought, oh, no, this is a bit more serious than just a G-up.
Cameron Murray never, ever gets involved in any of the rubbish on the football field. Not that there's that much rubbish these days. Did you see him dive in and grab Lachlan Lewis? You see him rip him off, and I've never seen anything like it.
No, I'm fascinated to see what happened.
Yeah, well, it sort of, you know, gave us something to talk about this afternoon, didn't it? A lot of people had a bit of a laugh and a giggle. I think the NRL will treat it quite seriously today, and I'm convinced that while no one got hurt, and while it was stupidity more than anything else, I think he's facing a couple of weeks' holiday up in the hub in Queensland. Enjoy the sunshine there, because if they don't take some pretty firm action on what happened, what's to stop flare-ups when teams are walking off the field every week? So I'm pretty sure that, though I'm not sure what grade, probably contrary conduct, and I would suggest he'll get a couple of weeks off.
You've written today.
Am I overreacting?
I think they need to probably fine him. I think something needs to happen, but I don't know about a two-week penalty. But I understand where you're coming from. If that's accepted, then what's to say that things don't get out of control into the future?
The telling evidence, you could see Cody Walker saying something, just mumbling it. If you go... The evidence is going to be really, really interesting. What was said? What sparked it? Now, Cody Walker, like all NRL players, will want to leave it on the football field. And there's obviously no racism involved, because we would have heard something more about it. So I'm really anxious to see this one play out today. What's Graham Annesley got to say? What's the Match Review going to do about it? It's a big story.
You wrote about a couple of halfbacks in the Daily Telegraph, Buzz, and had contrasting weekends, Sean Johnson and Jerome Hughes.
Look, I don't know what you guys think, but this Jerome Hughes is a really, really special player who I don't think gets the raps that he deserves. I think he's only a shadow behind, just a tiny shade behind Nathan Cleary in the best halves in the game. He is so much responsible with Munster in that halves. The Storm winning, 14th straight? Smashing all the point-scoring records. But I compared him to Sean Johnson. Now, listen to Sean Johnson's stats for Cronulla. Very winnable game they had on the weekend against the Raiders. He's just signed with the Warriors. Sean Johnson's a pro, so no one's going to question before the game his desire to steer the Sharks into the finals. The entire game, he had one run, 4 metres, and missed 9 tackles. Fair enough, the whole team missed 49 tackles. Then you look at Jerome Hughes, who is a player who joined Storm as a fullback to fill in for Slater. Never had Johnson's skill. Had to work hard to make it to where he is. He had 8 runs, 131 metres, and 0 missed tackles on the sheet. And I just thought he was outstanding again, but I was so disappointed in Johnson's performance. You look at some of these other Cronulla players, like Will Chambers, who drove all the way from Melbourne to the border, to the Queensland border to beat the closure. You look at Aaron Woods, who had to leave his beautiful partner hours after giving birth to their a little girl, Purcell Private Hospital. These two desperate are doing everything to help the Sharks make them. And I'm not convinced that Sean Johnson gave it 100% the other afternoon against Canberra.
Well, he's certainly, you know, he's got plenty of talent.
You saw his defence, Laurie.
Yeah, well, he missed plenty of tackles, Buzz. I can't defend him there. The only thing I will say is there was other people that were missing tackles as well.
He missed nine, Laurie, and it wasn't Josh Papali'i steamrolling him. Mm. It wasn't the big middle forwards or edge forwards running at him. There were a couple there, in my opinion, he didn't want to be involved in.
Well, that leads me to another question, though, Buzz, is that now that he's decided his future, are you better off to make changes there now if you're the Sharks coach in Josh Hennoe?
Yeah, look, I wanted to talk about that because this is a good story, this Anthony Milford story in the Broncos, and the fact that he's now unwanted there. So we've had St George 2 weeks ago approached the Broncos and were very close to doing a deal around Bourne's barbecue time. But they called out at the last minute. Then Parramatta the Eels get to Brisbane, across town from where Milford lives, and they think, well, we might need another 14, just a safety net for the finals. So they've made inquiries with the Broncos and Milford could jump ship. Now, I can understand if it's the Broncos or the Bulldogs who have players there, they're the only teams in the competition who can't play finals football. So is there anyone else the Broncos don't want for next year? Yeah, there's a couple of players, and why would you hang on to them now? They're gone.
Mm.
Why not bring in some people who are probably part of the plan for next year? You look at the Bulldogs. Will Hopewadi almost went to St George a couple of weeks ago. You look at Dylan Napper. The Bulldogs are out of contention. Would Dylan Napper be a handy pickup for someone who might need a middle forward who's just suffered an injury, a serious injury, and they've lost their light on? So I think now every team is in Brisbane or Sunshine Coast or Gold Coast, outside of the Cowboys. I think there's going to be a lot of this. It's not like a player's got to pack up home, fly to Sydney, re-establish himself in accommodation, etc., etc. So I think in the next, we've got 2 more weeks of this market is still open until the end of the month. I think we could see more of this. I'll give you a little story here. Aaron Woods, okay?
Mm.
I heard that Manly and Melbourne Storm were keen on signing for the rest of the year. This was only a week ago. But Woodsy had to think that he's never won a premiership. And I haven't confirmed it with Melbourne Storm, but imagine the chance to go and finish the season with Storm and put a ring on your finger at the end of the year. But these top clubs above Broncos and Bulldogs can't justify it to their fans to let anyone go while the race is so thrilling at the moment to make the top eight.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. And the clubs would have to have space on their player roster, though, wouldn't they? They couldn't have 30 spots already filled. Do we know how many clubs would have spaces to fill, Buzz? Off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I still think there's probably 10 clubs who have room to move.
Oh, wow.
Still.
That's still a lot, isn't it?
They always kept it up their sleeve for these last couple of weeks to see going to the finals. Who are they going to need? But let's now get to the finals race. And you've got, I think it's what, 8 clubs? You've got Dragons, Sharks, Raiders, Knights, Titans, Clarkie's Mob West Tigers, Cowboys and Warriors could still make 7th or 8th in the race to the final.
Who's your pick, Buzz? Who you got in there?
Oh, look, I'll tell you what's thrown it over, Clarkie, so dramatically, is the Dragons and the Sharks both losing over the weekend. Because they were 7th and 8th.
Yeah.
The way Ricky has re-established this Raiders attack and brought in that brilliant young fullback Xavier Savage, is it?
Yes.
Hope he's not hurt that shoulder. You know, I hope he's not going to miss games. I have got a feeling that the Raiders are banging that hard on the door. I think they could make it. And it'll be one of the great coaching comeback performances from that club in a long, long period of time. Mind you, I don't think they'll go deep into the finals. I think the Raiders can make it. West, your mob, Clark, I think you're too inconsistent. I heard you say it a little while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm hoping the Sharks can make it. But, look, I don't think the Cowboys or Warriors can. But look at that Titans roster. Where are the Titans on the table? They're a win outside the eight. They could come into it. So that's what I love about this competition right now. Origin's gone. We've got the best 34 players in the comp back on deck. And this, you look at, have you seen the market for the top eight, all those teams I just mentioned? It's really, really exciting on the tab. What's the price here? Cronulla's $1.65, Newcastle $3.25, Canberra into $2. Gold Coast $3.25, St George $3. It's really, really exciting, and I think it's going to be great for rugby league, their ratings, and even crowds in Brisbane over the next month or so.
I saw your article, I think it was in yesterday's paper, Buzz, about the ratings, and in particular the Origin ratings. They weren't as good as what we were expecting.
No, and look, it's a story for the off-season loss on just what they're going to do about State of Origin, because I've said to you on this show many times that I'm concerned about the future of State of Origin, that the landscape and the demographic has changed so dramatically since 1980, when there were no Polynesian players, or there was one or two in the NRL, to now being 52% of players. Origin is no longer the best of the best, nowhere near the best of the best. So, what do you do about it? You know, a long time ago, there was only one-day cricket, and then along came T20. Remember Channel 9?
Mm.
You know, and Channel 10, sorry, and the lighting bales. And remember racing? Melbourne took over the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup, the Caulfield Cup. Then Peter Volandis brought in something called the Everest Championship to turn the Queen Elizabeth into the race everyone wanted to win against the Cox Plate. I think it's time Rugby League had that conversation now. I do not want to get rid of Origin, but I don't want it played mid-year, and I don't want it ruining the NRL Premiership for 6 weeks, as it's done every year. The old days, Origin 1, Origin 2, Origin 3 were the top shows on Australian television. Used to be, what's that, it's your favourite show, Clarkie? Maths? Are you a maths fan?
Oh, please.
Oh, I am.
Favourite.
No, it's Loz, yeah.
I love it.
Thank you, Buzz. It's a great show.
Yeah, that's a block. Origin was always 1, 2, 3. Now, you know the game the other night? It got beaten by the AFL Grand Final by 1.4 million viewers. And you know Game 3 last year, admittedly a decider, played in November. Well, guess what? It beat Game 3 this year with the Blues going for clean sweep and all of New Sydney in lockdown.
Mm.
So something, look, we could sit here and turn a blind eye to it and think, this is keep rolling on, put it mid-year, give players 10 days in camp, don't worry about Manly without Tom Turbo, don't worry about South without Latrell, you know, don't worry about Penrith without the champion halves they've got. I love watching those two halves play.
I think something obviously has to be looked at, Buzz, because you can't have State of Origin being the pinnacle of our game when it comes to people watching it on television, and then to see the drop in numbers over the last couple of years. That'd be concerning for everyone involved. And we need to probably sit down and find out why that is happening. And you bring up a couple of good points that I'm sure that the Commission will have to look at and address at the end of the year. Where do they put Origin? What does Origin look like in the next 10 years? And how do we make it those big events which we have become accustomed to? You know, you sit down in front of Origin, the build-up to Origin. So I found the build-up to Origin this year, some of the games weren't there. And I don't know whether it was because of COVID or what, but it just didn't seem like it was saturated coverage of State of Origin.
No, maybe because, you know, players were hard to get to and a lot of it was done under COVID biosecurity. Mm. And the important thing is, gentlemen, the NRL are in really, really important talks. They've signed Fox Sports for 7 years. Channel 9's deal and free-to-air runs out next year, the end of next year. So they are talking to 9, 7 and 10 right now about a new 5-year free-to-air deal. When they walk in to see the chief executives of those media giants, they've got to have better ratings for their showpiece event of the year if they want to get the big bucks.
Well,
they really do.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to get that sorted. I'll tell you what, though, Buzz, I didn't think this would ever happen. You've got Phil Gould a job.
Very,
the great
very,
Augustus, you got him employed.
Oh, very humble move. I'm not just so long. I don't like taking the rap for 2 minutes. Look,
run me through it. What happened?
Look, they were beaten 66-0 at Bankwest Stadium 2 weeks ago, 2 Saturdays ago. So I rang their chairman, John Corey, on the Sunday morning. John is a lovely, lovely bloke, but he's not really rugby league savvy at the moment so early in his career. And I said, look, and there's only one bloke who's going to fix the mess you're in. And he was worried about the members, he was worried about the fans, the backlash, board instability, Lynn Anderson, all this sort of stuff. He's got a new CEO, new coach. So I said, look, there's only one bloke to fix this, John. He said, I said, Phil Gould. And he said, look, we had a whack before Magic Round. Gus knocked us back, committed to the Warriors, wanted a little bit too much money. So I said to him, look, I'll just update you there, John. Gus isn't as settled as you might think at the Warriors. COVID has closed him down again from making all those trips to New Zealand and actually doing the job he was hired to do. I think you could still get him if you get the money right, if you get the length of the contract right. If you get Arthur Wandy, your billionaire major sponsor on side. So I actually rang Arthur and I said, look, you should talk to John. You should launch Project Gus. You will get him. There is a huge, huge opportunity here for the club. It'll take you a while like it took Penrith. And we'll have all this five-year plan madness and all this. And there'll be soap operas and there'll be all this. But there's one man who can fix your club. And the reason I did this live and got myself involved, rugby league needs Canterbury in the top four club. They are a great, great football club.
Big club too, aren't they?
Yeah, and remember Easter Monday, that Canterbury South game? It used to be one of the, it was nearly as big as Anzac Day, but since the Dogs have turned it up in the last few years, it's been horrible. You know, no one cares. It's been a no one cares game. So look, I'm hoping Gus, God bless him, can do what he did at Penn. Different job, not the same junior league, but, I'm really hoping he can.
Yeah. Well, if someone can turn it around, it'll certainly be Gus. He works
well
with Trent.
I'm just waiting for my sling. I'm just waiting for my sling.
Well, mate, they should be bowing to you, Buzz, next time you go to the footy, all the Bulldog supporters.
No, look, you chat to footy clubs, and you do too. Everyone who's been in the media a long time has conversations like this with footy clubs, particularly where there are officials who aren't quite as savvy as they should be. And they don't know what's happening around the clubs, that Gus was ready to go this time, that he was reapproachable. But, mate, I'm cheering. I really am. I want to see Canterbury as a powerful rugby league club again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like to see that, mate. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Hey, thank you, guys. Cheers.